Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Big 12 Tournament Preview and Picks Edition for the Big 12 Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play there, pick them all season long, 100 times in NBA, NHL, college hoops, and much more. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match today. And we're brought to you by Champs. Run your March Madness pool and enter Champs Free Bracket Contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, props, and game lines. Download that Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Monday, March the 11th, we have arrived, guys. Regular season is over. Congratulations to the Houston Cougars on winning their first Big 12 championship, and we'll talk about their chances in the postseason now. But if you're wondering who you're listening to, I am Moneyline Mac, and we're talking Big 12 hoops, which means I'm joined by a man that's a walking contradiction. He was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa, and he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. Co-host of the Ryan and Rush show, Rambling Rush. Rush, what's up, man?
Two-thirds of those teams you mentioned have a bright, hopefully, postseason future. The one and most important, unfortunately, does not. But, hey, shout-out to the man behind me, Josh Eilert, you know, making the best of a bad situation. Friend of the show, of course. We love you, Josh. And, hey, yeah, you might as well just go out there and see what you can do tomorrow, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
They are one of two games, but hey, third man in the box before we dive into it. He's always fighting a family civil war because he's got family in Norman, Stillwater, Waco, etc. He is a six-time Zin champion. He is the Big 12 guru, Troy Chunig. What is up, brother?
Congratulations to the Houston Cougars and to Troy for the almost 3-1 future bet on them to win the regular season. Did not get Baylor's, but we'll take the plus 275 on Houston. That one, I can't believe they weren't favorites all year long. I understand the premise behind Kansas for the first few weeks when you're thinking, you know, this team's going to round up. But even then, kind of crazy that Houston was above that 2-1 number for so long as such a good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, they dominated. They won 15-3. They won every home game. They beat Kansas by 30 on Saturday. I know Kansas did rest their starters in the second half, but I mean that didn't matter. I mean they dominated. They hit them right in the mouth right off the bat. They were by far the better basketball team. So with that said, let's look at the bracket because we do have a bracket. It's bracket season. Everybody loves brackets. Big 12 tournament starts tomorrow, March the 12th. Pulling it up right now. Here we go. Here's our first bracket of the year. How's that look?
Looking good. If you want to scroll up a little bit.
Yep. Here we go. All right. Perfect. 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 All right. So Oklahoma State and UCF will lead it off tomorrow at 11:30 local time, 12:30 Eastern, followed by the Mountaineers in Cincinnati in the 14-11 game. The winner of Oklahoma State UCF gets BYU, the Cougars, as the 5 seed, and West Virginia Cincinnati winner will head and play Kansas tomorrow night. You got matchups in the play-in round to get to the quarterfinals with Oklahoma and TCU, and then obviously the 4 teams in the bye are Texas Tech as a 4 seed, Houston as a 1 seed, Iowa State as a 2, Baylor as a 3. Guys, initial thoughts on just how the bracket shook out, just right off the bat, Rush.
Of course, the big one is we're always used to Kansas, you know, getting is being one of the furthest teams in there. They're not even automatically in the quarterfinals, so we'll see how that breaks down. I think that UCF game tomorrow night, and I know we'll get to that against Oklahoma State, I could see UCF causing a little bit of trouble here in the top. And I know Troy was joking earlier about the script leaking. The Big 12 accidentally had them, already advancing. So maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, this was posted and kind of retweeted. I think it was almost like 12 or 1500 times before it got taken down. But UCF was already slotted into that BYU game when this original graphic was posted. So take heed, everyone.
Was there a final score for spread purposes?
Yeah, I don't know if it said anything like that, sadly.
But, of course, the Kansas State, the 10 seed, the one that's probably right back on that bubble with their upset over Iowa State this past weekend. Can they beat Texas and then maybe Iowa State again and then finally, you know, be the 10th Big 12 team to make it into the tournament? So a lot of eyes on Kansas State. It is kind of a home tournament for them as it is for Kansas. And we talk about Iowa State South being there as well. So
yeah,
we'll see how things shake up in Kansas City. But I think the most important storyline is how Kansas State does in this tournament.
I kind of like the draw that BYU got. If you get UCF and then Texas Tech, you got at least a chance of maybe moving up a seed line before you have to play Houston. And I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead and talk about that, but this could be a complacent time for Houston. I know, like we were saying on the last episode, that's not really how Kelvin Sampson teams play, but they're still teenage kids and 20-year-old kids that pretty much know that they're going to have a one seed. If it's not the number one overall seed, they're still getting a one no matter what. Could be a little bit of complacency there. And, you know, BYU gets to play UCF, and then if they win that game, Texas Tech, and you don't have to play in the bounce house or at Lubbock. Kind of shaping up pretty well for them, I think. They'll get a shot at Houston, and who knows? I mean, obviously, Texas Tech is still a talented team, could prevent that from ever happening, but the opportunity is there. I think, you know, you've got a pretty good shot here for Kansas, too. They get to play that extra game that they're not used to playing. Mm-hmm. But for them right now, that might be preferred instead of just sitting out. You know, I think they would rather be in that spot where they're at instead of like in the Baylor position where they might get a warm-up game against, you know, Dub V or Cincinnati before they have to play Baylor instead of vice versa, like letting Baylor or letting Iowa State have that warm-up game. So I don't know. Maybe it shapes out well for Kansas, but you see BYU at 15-1. I just look at that real big number and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it is weird seeing Kansas sit that this far down. I mean, it kind of speaks to how down this Kansas team is. The team I'm looking at is TCU because they dropped senior day against UCF. That was a bad loss. And
very bad loss.
In my opinion, that kind of has put them on the bubble. And I don't think that they can afford to lose this Oklahoma game. I think they have to win this Oklahoma game to really feel confident about their chances. If they drop Oklahoma, if they drop this streak that they've had down the stretch. I think it's going to be, what would it be, 4 out of 5 with their only win being in Morgantown. I think it's going to be a really, really sweaty selection Sunday for TCU if they drop this Oklahoma game. Now, if they get the Oklahoma game, I think they're in. That would solidify 9 teams, like you said. Rush mentioned it. K-State's outside looking in, but you have 2 quad 1 opportunities right off the bat. If you beat Texas, you get Iowa State again. Does that get them over the hump, or do they got to win another one and get to the championship? So, but yeah, that's just some of the things I'm looking at. Let's go over to the awards really quick.
These are hilarious.
They really are.
Just to summarize, one is at least. Who got what? Jamal Shedd wins Player of the Year. Nobody is disputing that. Jamal Shedd wins Defensive Player of the Year. Nobody's disputing that. Hunter Dickinson somehow got an award. He wins Newcomer.
Oh, they were making sure of that. They got all the mail-in ballots came in for that one.
No doubt.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jamal Shedd was a newcomer to the league this year, correct?
I thought the same thing. Why can't he be Newcomer of the Year?
I mean, he was Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, and he's a newcomer. So I would say that he's probably the Newcomer of the Year as well. This is definitely a mail-in ballot situation for Hunter Dickinson. This is white privilege. There's no other way. This is white privilege for Hunter Dickinson.
I'd make the argument for like a Dallin Hall being Newcomer of the Year who beat BYU, beat them in Kansas. So
yeah, I think it's a joke that he's Newcomer of the Year. I know he's got good stats, but I don't even think he should be first team. All he did was just pad his stats. If his impact on winning was not there. Honestly, McCullough being on there is a little surprising too. He missed like 4 games. How is Kansas get 2 guys on the first team yet they finished 6? Is my question.
How do they only have 1 forward on the second team?
Yeah, that is a good question. I'm baffled by how Kansas still got some treatment despite finishing fucking 6. Jacoby Walter, well deserved freshman of the year. Jackson Robinson, he also well deserved 6th man of the year. Most improved, Dylan Dessou. I don't know if I would say he's most improved. I thought he's pretty damn good last year. I don't know who I would have given it to though. I would have went Lipsy at Iowa.
Yeah, I would give it to Tamen.
I would have given it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I thought Lipsy's jump was unbelievable.
He can score.
Yeah, he can make a shot this year. And Coach of the Year, Kelvin Sampson.
Even Emmanuel Miller, because TCU's kind of dead in the water without Emmanuel Miller.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Coach of the Year, Kelvin Sampson. You could have made the case for Otzelberger, but I think it's got to be Kelvin with the way that they dominated the Big 12. And Daniel makes a good point in the chat.
Yeah, Ace Miss is a newcomer too.
Like, I was thinking that too. How did fucking win this shit? Get the fuck out of here.
Or even Ray J.
Yeah, I don't know. First team, Shedd, Lipsy, Dickinson, McCullough, Dessou. Like I said, Kansas has somehow the most. Very perplexing. Second team, RJ Dennis, LJ Cryer, Gilbert, Miller.
McCullough was hurt half the year.
I know. It's incredible. Like I agree with you guys. Like why is it Cryer should be first team? Cryer was unbelievable on the best team. It should be Shedd and Cryer both should be first team Big 12. They won the league going away. They dominated. For Kansas to have 2, yeah. Third team, honestly, Bridges, you can make an argument. Jalen Bridges should maybe be second team. I thought he was really good this year. Jacoby Walter, Juwan Roberts, Pop Isaacs, and Darian Williams. And that's – oh, here we go. Yep. Defensive team, Misi, Newman, Shedd, Lipsy, Harris. I think that's pretty accurate. Second team, the newcomer team – Dennis, Gilbert, Dickinson, A. Smith, and Williams. So out of those 5, A. Smith, you could make a case. Shit, you could make a case that R.J. Dennis should have been Newcomer of the Year over Dickinson.
Yeah, I was thinking that would be at least someone that was kind of mentioned.
Yeah. It just shows.
I also would have thought about the most improved player being Misi on Baylor because he was not thought of as any kind of a real piece for the team coming into the year. And he ended up being maybe the most important player on that team for them.
100%. And well, honestly, I can make the case for Jalen Bridges.
I was going to say the same thing.
The only thing with Misi is he's a freshman, so that's why he's down there in the all-freshman team. Misi, Walter, Tugler at Houston. I never can pronounce my man's name. The 6'8 white guy for Iowa State, Momcilovic. He makes everything when he's open, and then Furphy. Well deserved. That actually is well deserved for Furphy. He honestly carried Kansas for a couple games. So our main pick at this thing is we both think is all think it's a joke that KU got preferential treatment, unfortunately, once again. But it also shows you how it's just such a media driven award. From preseason expectations. So it is what it is. Kansas somehow gets two first team guys despite finishing six. All right, let's dive into the bracket again and talk about the futures market. But before we do so, we got to talk about, well, merch madness, because 15% off everything in the merch store, promo code madness mentioned at some point that you want to get down on some merch. So get on over there. We got Eat Shit Pit shirts. I got one of those. We got over under beers. We got first half unders. We got a little bit of everything over here at TCE. So get on over there to SGPM Merch and get your gear and swag it out for March Madness today. And we're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting, head-to-head, bet directly against your friends or users on sports, politics, pop culture, everything. Tonight, thing I like on Cut. Let's go. I like Gonzaga and St. Mary's lay the points in the WCC. That's a rigged league, so I think that they'll rig it so that they're both in the championship game for the 7,000th fucking time in a row. So get on over there, lay the points with the Zags, lay the points with the Gales in statement spots with those double buys. Download the Cut today in the App Store or head over to cut.com. And that's KUTT.com, promo code SGPN for a 10% bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play alongside your favorite players all season long over on Underdog. Troy, you've been cooking it up all year with winners left and right. What you got cooked up here, man?
We've got a good one for the early, the 12:30 spot for the Oklahoma State UCF game tomorrow. We've been talking about UCF's defense being pretty scrappy. Javon Small averages just over 3 turnovers a game throughout the year, and he's set at 3.5, so we're going to go higher than that. I think UCF can force him to commit one more turnover. And then Jalen Sellers on UCF averaging just over 16 a game, set at 14.5. We're going to go higher on that one too. I think we're looking for a scrappy game in that one. So those two kind of limited. There's not a bunch of the underdog stuff out yet for tomorrow's game, but at least we have that one for the early slot.
We do. And I can't wait. We got day games, day action, baby. So get over there to Underdog Fantasy, promo code TCESGPN. All righty. We are back on the Big 12 College Experience talking Big 12 hoops. Let's get over to the bracket once again.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Again, where did it go? Where did it go? Go back to the bracket. Technology, baby. There we go. See my screen? All right. So bracket preview and picks edition. And also go to the futures market right here. So right now, seeing Houston sitting at -105 to win the league. Or win the tournament. Also seeing the Cyclones, Iowa State, the four or two seed, +490. Baylor, the three seed, 6-1. Texas Tech, 18-1. BYU, the Cougs are out. Little drop there. So it's telling you that BYU is going to be favored against Texas Tech in the second round. They're only 10-1. Rock Chalk at the sixth seed, 10-1. Texas, 24-1. TCU in the eight hole, 36-1. Oklahoma, 65-1. K-State 100-1, Cincinnati 100-1, UCF 160-1, and all three of our teams down here, baby. The Oklahoma State Cowboys and the West Virginia Mountaineers sitting at 250-1. So,
super Troy, bad.
I will hand it to you with the way that the bracket shakes. What are you looking at here, and which future do you want to sprinkle in?
I would look at BYU and Baylor. On DraftKings, I see Baylor at 7-1 and getting a whole hundred more dollars in value. What did you say? They're about 6-1 here.
Who's that? Baylor?
Baylor.
Baylor's 6-1.
Yeah. So I would take the 7-1 over at DraftKings, obviously. And BYU is 15-1 instead of 10-1 at DraftKings. So I would look at those two with a little bit of inflated value over at DK. But Texas is also an interesting team just because when push comes to shove, they've got a dude that can drain it from anywhere and can hang into games that they're probably not really deserving to be in. And we know how important guard play is as you get to some of these March games. Maybe he won't be Asmus. Maybe he'll be Goodmus. And way too much experience for Max in the backcourt in tournament games. I think Texas might be a sneaky one as well.
They won it last year. Rush, what are you thinking here?
So on paper, I would agree with you, Troy. BYU is a great value. Unfortunately, BYU will not do it because even if they do all the upsets, they'll do everything right. They'll get to the championship and then blow some lead.
You're just looking for a lucrative cash out option before they play Houston.
That is true. If that is your plan, then BYU is a good one. I like Iowa State. Is what's that plus 490, almost 500. Yeah. I mean, for the second place team.
Yeah, huge jump between Houston and them.
I know. I mean, you might as well get some good value in that as well. And then, I mean, if you want to go the home court and all those great players that were named by the Rioters, I mean, Kansas plus 1,000. I mean, pretty solid odds this time of year for Kansas. So that's where I'm looking at. But I'd probably pick Iowa State. I mean, you almost got plus 500 there for the second best team in the greatest division, so greatest conference.
Yeah, I'm on the same two as you, and I like Texas. So if I'm going to attack the bottom half, because I think Houston's going to get picked off, just because I think this happens all the time in conference tournaments. So somebody will drop a semifinal game, right the ship, refocus for March Madness. Honestly, in my opinion, it would be the best thing for Houston if they lost a game. And Kelvin can
couldn't
get after
more
guys. Maybe BYU or Texas Tech could get them on a neutral floor. So, that's where I'm at with it. I think Iowa State is going to end up cutting down the nets on Saturday night. So I'll go +490 with the Iowa State Cyclones. But I can't pass up the other home team. Iowa State, Hilton South, it's going to be rocking for them, but it's also going to be rocking for Kansas at 10-1. But then I also want to sprinkle a little bit on Texas 24-1 because they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody. If they get K-State and then they play Iowa State. So I'm going to load up on the bottom half and book on one of those guys getting to the final over Baylor. I'm basically just not taking Baylor just because they have no fans at this tournament. Baylor's never won it because the only teams that ever really win it are Iowa State and Kansas because they have the home crowd. Last year was an exception with Texas winning just because they were that much better than Kansas that night.
Well, Bill Self had that heart problem too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And yeah, exactly. So,
and the Big 12 tournament is not something that Scott Drew really emphasizes too much as well.
He's not good in it. They've lost in the quarters the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And then their national championship, they lost in the semis to Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State. So, yeah. So, final predictions. Who cuts down the nets Saturday night, guys?
I'll go Iowa State.
Over.
BYU.
Solid.
Troy? Have a little
fun. What about Texas versus BYU?
Ooh.
Is that...
I like it.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Because they're the seven. So seven will play two.
What about Texas versus BYU? And in typical fashion, the team that's leaving the league is going to win the conference championship in their last year. How many spots does Texas jump up if they win the Big 12 tournament in the NCAA?
I would say that they'll probably go to like the sixth line. Maybe.
Yeah, I would think maybe a five at the best, but probably a
six.
Well,
because they theoretically will have beaten K-State. That's an okay win, but Iowa State, potentially Baylor or Kansas, and then Houston, potentially. I mean, if you beat those three teams, that's...
Maybe a five.
I mean, that's three top 10 wins in 3 days if the bracket shakes out. I'll go. I think Iowa State cuts down the nets. I actually will take Houston to get to the final. I think Texas Tech or BYU could upset them, but I think Houston is too much. But the crowd Saturday night wills Hilton Magic, Hilton South in Kansas City to beat the Houston Cougars. So give me those clones, baby, plus 490. So. All right, we got two more games to pick, and we'll do that on the other side. But first, we got to talk about, well, none other than Manscaped, because it's that time of year, everybody. Get over there, top of the morning with your little leprechaun, your shamrock shake, and shamrock shavers, Manscaped. This year, just chasing around rainbows left and right. Make sure your pot of gold and your groom of your little leprechaun with leaders in below have a kilt care to go, baby. Say goodbye to your clover and forest and get over there to Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 edition and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join over 10 million men worldwide who can trust the Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use that promo code SGPN to get 20% off and free shipping. You got to get the free shipping if you're going to shave that bush down there. So get on over there. Manscaped.com, promo code SGPN, $20 off. And get over there. You got this time of year, summer's coming around. You don't want that freaking area down there freaking bushing up and itchy and shit and all that good old shit that nobody wants to talk about. So Manscaped.com, like I said, it's St. Patrick's Day. Make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped, promo code SGPN. And we're also brought to you by Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure you register over and don't miss out. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays and game lines. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft a more intelligent, data-driven parlay. Download that Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Code SGPN for 50% off your first month. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All righty. We talked about the bracket. We talked about the awards. We gave out our futures. And now we're going to talk about the first game on the slate. 11:30 local time, Kansas City barbecue. Power and Light District will be rocking. There will be nobody at this game. That was the first observation. There won't be anybody at the second game either. UCF going to Kansas City. Almost said to Oklahoma State. UCF is laying 3.5 against the Cowboys. So Troy mentioned it. The fix is already in. UCF will win this game. But you look at what they did this season of 77-71 a couple weeks ago. UCF gets it done. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm going to take the Cowboys with the points. Give me UCF to win like a 2-point game. There's so many times this time of year where these games are a one possession game. I'll be on the Cowboys one last time for Mike Boyden. I do think this is the end, and I wish him the best. He's a good guy, but it just hasn't worked out. And he also got screwed. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, the fucking NCAA screwed him. We'll do an episode at the end of the year just breaking down coaching changes, and he'll be on this. So give me UCF to advance, Oklahoma State to cover.
I know for a fact that you got to place the money line on UCF here just because the script is already out and they've been advanced in the graphic. I'm going to lay the points with UCF. But again, not super strong conviction. The hook is kind of scary. This seems like they could win this game by 3 instead of by 4. But UCF just, they've been a significantly more impressive team throughout this year than Oklahoma State. And I'm not going to think that, you know, Mike Boynton has a one and done performance here and looks real good against UCF and then shits the bed afterwards. I think the bed shitting has already occurred and Oklahoma State's just rolling around in their shit right now. Whereas UCF kind of looks like, you know, if they would have won 2 or 3 more games in the non-con a little earlier in the season, they would definitely be pushing that bubble line. So I think UCF is playing pretty good. I'm going to lay it with them.
Yeah, I hate the hook in this. Ryan brought this up a couple episodes ago where you get to this time of the season and the fouling at the end gets greater because, you know, they want to extend the season. Yeah. You don't want to give up that early. I could see this kind of happening, being a 2-point game. Oklahoma State misses, you know, a shot, and then they start fouling UCF to cover the spread there. So I'm gonna lay the points with you, Troy. I'm gonna take UCF -3.5 and kind of go off that foul logic there. Kennedy is on Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. So me and Kennedy, Oklahoma State, Troy and Rush on the Shiny Knights. Do we have to talk about this game? We just saw this game on Saturday where the Mountaineers got ambushed in Cincinnati. Terrible, terrible day, terrible game, terrible everything. Final score on Saturday was 92-56. It was dressed up a little bit at the end, but still, it was a 20-point game. They did split the season series. West Virginia did win in Morgantown. It's always interesting when you play a team twice in 4 days. So do we get a sleepy Cincinnati spot in terms of they just killed this team? They think they're going to kill them again. And maybe West Virginia makes a couple threes and keeps it within the number, or does West Virginia just lay down? I don't think we're going to win, but I'll take the points. I don't think Cincinnati will beat them back-to-back by double digits, but it wouldn't shock me. Give me the points with the Mountaineers. Not going to be on my lock card, I can tell you that.
I'm going to lay it with Cincinnati just because we just saw the game. And this one feels like the if this was 10 or 10.5, I would take the points with West Virginia. But I think this is the one where the hook helps you out. Cincinnati should be able to win this game by at least 10. Maybe West Virginia shoots a little bit better from the 3-point line, but are we thinking 40 points better or 32 points better than what they were? It's possible, but I think West Virginia is, you know, just like Oklahoma State, where the wind's been out of the sails for the last few weeks. Yeah. They covered a few times on the road to maybe, you know, you were thinking maybe they'll cover a couple of these games as we get to the end of the year and then just kind of laid the egg. I don't think West Virginia has all that mojo. And I think Cincinnati might have a little bit of a run in them. I don't know. Maybe it's, they're going to be one of the desperate teams. That's for sure. They're still attempting to play for, you know, something. I don't think West Virginia has anything at all that they're really aimed on playing for. It looks like they've got a few dudes checked out, specifically the ones that are the most important to the team's success. So lay it with Cincy.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it with Cincy here too. I know we talk about the back-to-back, but I remember when Huggins was going for his 900th win a couple years ago, we lost to Oklahoma State in Morgantown, and then we lost to, this was the Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State. Then we lost again to open up the Big 12 tournament. So we've seen this before. I think these guys are just done. Maybe we see them, you know, go at it a little bit in the first half, but I don't think they want to be here anymore. I think they're want to put behind them what was just an awful season from before the very beginning. Terrible. And Cincinnati. And I think I agree with you, Troy. I think Cincinnati wants to make a statement. And there's a couple of these teams that are these double digit seeds or we see in these tournaments that end up, you know, getting a couple wins under their belt and making a statement. And I could see Cincinnati making, you know, one of these bids as well. So we will see. Kennedy is on. Which way are we doing this? Because it's not home and away. I'm just doing it in the order of the seed.
Sorry, Cincinnati's a home team because they'll be wearing their home uniforms.
Okay, then Kennedy's on WU. I might have to switch that OK State then. What was OK State?
They're the lower seed.
How did you have them in the lineup?
UCF was the home team.
Okay. So, yep, Kennedy's still in OK State.
All right, lock and dog. Only two options. Oh, shit. We can look at a total. Are there totals out? I know we don't talk totals much. 143.5 for the Bearcats and Mountaineers. The other one was 136.5. For my lock, I will lock up the under in Oklahoma State and UCF. I love the unders in the early games. 11:30 a.m., first game of the day. Last time it was 77-72, but there was a lot of fouls at the end, like Rush talked about. I think both those teams shoot like shit in the first ever game. For my dog, give me the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a close game. Might as well sprinkle some on the money line. Cowboys get it done in a revenge angle. Guns up.
I'm going to lock UCF. Script is already out there. I think they probably win this game. At least by, I think, even if it's a two-point game or something like that, I think Oklahoma State gets in trouble and kind of fouls and then jacks up some – not great shots, and maybe it spreads out to that 5 or 6 point range. But for dog, I'm going to alt line Cincy to -17.5.
That's a good, I mean, if you're going to alt line, that would be the game to alt line.
9 points of value, baby.
I don't know if you want to call this a lock, dog, money line parlay, whatever it is. I'll just keep it simple. I will parlay the UCF and Cincinnati money line. There's got to be some value in that.
Yeah. So what's that? Your lock?
That's probably an even bet. Yeah. I guess that's my lock.
Yep. And then what's your dog?
That's alt just line? It. That's all I'm saying. That's just.
I didn't know if you were going to alt line Cincinnati too.
Parlay. I'm hitting a little bit of everything. No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to either.
All right, guys. That'll do it. So we will be back. Fuck you, Chachi.
What's this comment before? West Virginia is a big example why the transfer portal isn't well. It's beyond that. It's
there's other implications.
It's an example of don't do illegal stuff.
I feel like Bob Huggins would be a good fit in the offseason for that program.
No comment. But yeah, it's definitely not rainbows and butterflies in Morgantown. Ready for the season to be over. Next time I probably talk to you guys, it will be over. But, hey, crazier things have happened in March. Watch out for the Mountaineers.
Watch out. March Mountaineers.
I would have laughed my ass off if I had him had a chance to take him as a dog, as like a 10-point dog, and they do win outright somehow in like a bullshit March Madness game. Crazier things have happened, but I don't see it happening. But, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow night to preview the four games that once we officially know, once we get finals in these first two games, and we'll be here every single night this week, breaking down the bracket, recapping the action, and looking ahead to the next day. But hey, that's all we got. I'm at Moneyline_Mac. Troy's at Troy Tuning. Rush is at Rambling Rush. Mm. We are the Big 12 College Experience, and we are out of here.